here's a story from The World.
A few weeks ago, Oregon voters made a bold move. They voted to make their state the first to decriminalize possession of small amounts of hard drugs, substances like heroin, meth, or cocaine. A big step here in the U.S., but Oregon is actually pulling directly from the playbook of another country, Portugal. The question, though, can Portugal's experience translate to the Pacific Northwest? The World's Alana Gordon brings us a story from Portugal's capital, Lisbon.
The overgrown area off a side road in the north seems abandoned at first. It's not.
Hello.
Right before the pandemic hit, I joined an outreach team from the nonprofit Crescer that includes Inês Marinho, a nurse, and João Vicente, a peer.
Queres mais alguma coisa para além dos kits?
They spend their days stopping by different spots in Lisbon where people may use drugs, whether that's here or underneath subway terminals, to offer supplies like clean needles and health resources. They're part of a collection of services meant to support people who use drugs. Vicente says the goal isn't to force anyone into treatment.
Para mim não funciona. Funciona é quando uma pessoa quer, não é de obriga.
Personally, I think it works only when someone wants to do something. If they try to force me to do something, it doesn't work. It depends on the will of the subject.
A man wearing sunglasses, jeans, and a nice blue jacket approaches us from a hidden dirt path and introduces himself. He says he's a lawyer and he comes here to smoke cocaine.
I give my face because I don't have shame to have a disease. Why? Why? I can choose other type of life because I like it.
Everything was built based in the idea that we were dealing with a health condition rather than a criminal one.
This is Dr. João Goulao, Portugal's drug czar. 20 years ago, he helped overhaul the country's approach to drugs. It was based on the idea that
the key intervention should be on the health and the social side rather than in the law enforcement and police and the supply side.
Goulao says Portugal's unconventional shift came out of a period in the 80s and 90s when the country was in the midst of a major drug crisis. Drug-related HIV and hepatitis C rates soared, the highest in Europe.
At the time, we used to have at least one overdose death a day.
The problem began after a democratic revolution in the 1970s reopened Portugal's borders. Drugs flooded into communities struggling with the transition and economic uncertainty. As a doctor, Goulao was himself flooded with people seeking help. He became a leader in the addiction field, and the government tapped him to join a team to overhaul the system.
We developed the responses in several areas, in prevention, in treatment, in harm reduction.
Goulao says they really expanded services for people who use drugs, offering easy ways to get things like methadone, housing, inpatient treatment, counseling. They also wanted to lift the stigma of addiction, so they decriminalized all drugs, meaning drugs are still illegal. But if police catch a person with less than a 10-day supply, there's no arrest, no jail time, not even a criminal record, just a citation, like driving without a seatbelt, and a referral to the Commission for the Dissuasion of Drug Addiction. The one in central Lisbon is in an office building, and its only mark is a small sign by the elevator and door. Inside, just a handful of people are waiting on a Monday morning when I stop in, including 22-year-old Daniel Martins da Cuesta.
I was caught with 0.27 Gs of hash.
Da Cuesta says police stopped and searched him and his friends a couple nights before.
I was angry.
So here he is to meet with the commission. This may seem like a daunting thing, but it's not.
The commission is very informal, and that was on purpose.
Nuno Capaz is a sociologist by training and has been running this commission since the beginning. He's wearing a sweatshirt, jeans, and Adidas sneakers. He says he wants people to feel comfortable here.
So it's one of the frontline connection points, and in order to establish that connection with users, we need to remove all those formalities that normally are associated with the court and the criminal system, and all the uniforms and all the rules.
20 of these commissions were set up around Portugal as part of the overhaul. They're typically made up of a health worker, a social worker, and a lawyer. Notably absent, law enforcement. Within minutes, Da Cuesta's out of his meeting. He says he was asked,
if I still smoke, all regular, if I intend to stop.
What did you say?
I said no. And they asked me if I want help. I said no too. They said I have to... Tenho que me inscrever no centro de emprego.
Go to a job center. He says he's been meaning to go there for some time. So that part?
No, it's a good thing.
All of these referrals are voluntary. And yet, since Portugal decriminalized drugs 20 years ago, the nation has not experienced a huge surge in addiction, as some feared. Gulau, the drug czar, says the opposite happened.
Nowadays, for every 10 drug users, we have one problematic user.
The overdoses dropped, as did HIV.
Big numbers, the big problems that we were facing at the time, we had huge improvements in the situation.
But the direct nature of these shifts can be hard for researchers to fully link to decriminalization. The country also created a social welfare and universal health system during that period. But Portugal continues to garner attention around the world as more and more countries face a growing drug crisis and are looking for solutions. Tashia Naidu is with the U.S. advocacy group, the Drug Policy Alliance.
I mean, it's not possible to exactly replicate Portugal in the United States.
But Naidu says she was trying to get as close as possible to it when she helped design Oregon's new decriminalization policy, the one that voters approved this fall.
What we can do is learn from what are the key components of Portugal's success and how can we replicate those components to the extent we're able to here.
Under Oregon's plan, tax revenue from its legal marijuana industry will be redirected to overhaul addiction services. Instead of facing arrest and a criminal record for personal drug use, people will get a citation, a fine, and a referral to a health screening.
Where your various needs are assessed, and then you could be provided with linkages or connections to the various services.
Some worry there won't be enough funding to pull this off in the way Portugal could. Others oppose removing power from the courts and directing people to treatment. The Oregon experiment to see whether the lessons from Portugal can actually translate across the Atlantic begins in the state early next year. For The World, I'm Alana Gordon.
This story is part of a reporting fellowship sponsored by the Association of Healthcare Journalists and supported by the Commonwealth Fund.